This is the Whence We Came Project podcast, an archived audio anthology of American lives, both local and legendary, by the Americans that live them. My name is John Owen, and I'll be your host. The following is my conversation with Mrs. Dean Cobb, a truly inspirational story of triumph over circumstance and of finding the good, the gain, if you will, in even the most trying of times. It's a wonderful story by an equally wonderful lady. I hope you enjoy.
My name is Willa Dean Cobb, born in Jackson County, Tennessee, to the late George and Ova Hammock Barnes. We lived on a farm. My parents grew all that we ate. My mother canned all during the summer. We had good food. We were poor, but we were always clean and had food to eat.
Mrs. Cobb, did you have any brothers or sisters?
I had, there was eight children, three, which is already gone, two brothers and a sister passed away a few years ago. I have a set of twin sisters, and then I have a brother and a sister still living.
Do you have any memories of your grandparents?
Not much. We live close, but then we didn't have cars like we do now. I remember when we would go, we would ride in the back of the truck with chairs.
Wow.
That's unheard of now.
Yes, ma'am.
And but we were close.
What was your mom's maiden name?
My mom's maiden name was Hammock.
I see.
And her parents were Doxie and Ethel.
Now, what did your mother and father do for a living?
My father was a farmer. My mom was a housewife.
I see. Well, tell me a little bit about growing up.
Growing up, one thing I remember, we cooked by the kitchen was a table, a stove that had burners. Somehow they put the wood under there. And then there was this, I think they called it a bread warmer that they'd put leftovers in and stuff. But in the living room, the beds were in the living room.
In the living room?
We had no... You know, my father and his family had built a log house. We lived in a log house.
How many rooms?
I only remember three.
Indoor plumbing?
No. No indoor plumbing.
Electricity?
No electricity.
For how long? When did
as
you
long,
finally get...
Until I was 12. Of course, after that, my mom died, and all the children...
Say it.
All the children were really doled out like little animals, as many of you have read in the paper. My father, he had a drinking problem. He was a good man, but he didn't use his life like he should have. He was smart in some ways, but dumb in others. And so we were all separated when I was 12 years old.
Your father, do you mind explaining? Because I'm a little lost myself.
That's okay.
So your dad, your mother passed away, but how about your dad? Did he pass away as well?
He did about 6 years ago.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So you were?
I was put in a foster home. All of us were put in foster, well, to begin with, after my mom died. Our father, for some reason, he didn't stay home very much. I think women and wine was his problem.
Yes, ma'am.
And she passed away in August, and it was getting cool in November. And I went to my grandparents, which I never understood why they didn't step up to the plate. But... I told them, something's got to be done. I'm having to stay out of school. We're running out of food.
Why were you staying out of school to take care of the other kids?
Take care of the other children.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And your father, he was around during that time, but just wasn't...
In and out.
And how old were you again?
12.
That is remarkable.
12 years old. So after that, I mean, he didn't like it. He didn't like it. And he came to my foster mom's house, which was a distant relative. And I talked to him. He just wanted to know if I was happy. And I told him, you know, we couldn't live like that. And he was okay with it. And then...
Now, did all 8 kids go to that same home?
We were all scattered.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
What were the ages?
From 12, I was the oldest of 8 children.
You were the oldest at 12.
The youngest was, like, around 2.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. You were thrown into adulthood at the age of 12.
Mm-hmm. I was.
That is remarkable.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, after that...
You got to go back to school, though, when you got with the foster...
Yes, yeah. But then growing up, one thing I remember, we all had chores to do. My mom was a great person. My dad was a great person, but he just had bad habits. He, like I said, he was very intelligent. He logged and did all that kind of stuff. I think they also made whiskey.
A lot of people in this area did.
But... He married 2 or 3 times after that, I think. I never kept in contact with him. I only saw him one time during all of those years, and that was at our grandmother's funeral.
One time.
And he was trying to reminisce when we were little. It didn't mean nothing to us.
Yes, ma'am.
Coming from him. But anyway, I remember we had to carry water from the spring. I want to say it was every Thursday evening after school. I can't remember the day. And my mom had this huge black kettle that she, after she washed the, I don't remember. I guess she had a wringer wash. I don't believe she did. I don't remember. But I remember this big black kettle, and she would, we had to fill that up and fill all the other containers up for her to have to wash the next day. We didn't have a clothesline. We didn't, of course, didn't have a clothes dryer. We
how did you dry the clothes?
As I remember, on the fence row.
Amazing.
Yes, that's how people did back then. And our floor in the home, being a log house, was wood. And I remember my mom, they made lye soap. And she cleaned all the floors every week with lye soap water.
That is just remarkable.
And she was a very clean woman. She was pretty much, I would say she was half Indian. She was real, real, looked like an Indian lady.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So my grandpa did too.
Higher cheekbones, mm-hmm, and the darker skin, olive skin. Whatever.
Yeah. But anyway.
Now, she died so young.
It was an accident.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Caused from drinking. It's about this story in the paper. But it was in August. My father and 2 of my uncles on my mom's side, 2 on my dad's, they were on the porch talking and arguing. Of course, I'm sure they were drinking. I don't remember. But my dad said they pulled a knife on him, and he came in to the bedroom to get a gun, and they followed him. So my mom was trying to separate them, and she was at the end of the barrel, and it went off in her stomach.
Oh, no.
I saw all that happen.
You saw it? Oh, my Lord.
And I remember they took the baby bed out of my little brother's bed and laid her head on it as she went down. I don't remember who that was. And she was asking for an aspirin. I remember my sister ran and got water and aspirin. My sister also, the one next to me, Irene, held her hand over her stomach where the hole, it was just like jaggled.
Yes, all ma'am.
It wasn't big, very big, but it did not go through.
Really?
Mm-mm. It didn't. I guess at close range it was a... I guess, what, a shotgun?
Could very well have been, yes, yeah. Ma'am. That is remarkable.
But it was accidental.
And for the children to see it.
Mm-hmm. Many of them remember it because I was the oldest.
Okay.
And Irene, the one that's passed away, she remembered it. I don't believe my brother did. The only thing my baby brother remembered was at the cemetery when they were throwing the dirt over. That's
really?
All he remembered, yeah. Then after that, we all were taken by a Mr. Roberts who worked at, I guess it was Whitson Funeral Home or Anderson. No, Sutton Funeral Home in Gainesboro. He was the nicest guy, Junior Roberts. He took us to our grandparents, and he stayed with us until they got home. And from that, I can't remember if we... I'm sure we spent the night there that night.
Yes, ma'am.
But it was a bad time.
That is horrible to think about a child. That's just horrible.
Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to be downing my father, but he just did not act in the right way.
And, you know, that's a great lesson. We all need to understand mm-hmm. that we're accountable for our actions and the
that's
things
right.
we think about putting in our
and
body.
And I'm sure he suffered. You know,
sure.
from it.
Absolutely.
But then...
Well, I have a question for you on the school. Now, can you tell me, do you have any memories of going to first grade, second grade, a little bit about the school?
Yes, I do. I remember my sister, we were almost 2 years apart, and they wouldn't let me go by myself, so they made me wait till she could go. Which was a year later, which was okay.
Right.
And we walked to school through the woods.
How far was it?
It was probably 3 or 4 miles.
Wow. Every day you walked to school?
Mm-hmm. Every day.
Regardless
of course,
of weather.
That summer, see, I was having to stay out of school.
Right.
And I loved school, and I hated it.
We'll get to this later on down the line. You're very accomplished woman. You've done a lot of things.
Oh, well, thanks.
Very intelligent woman. That, but now, was school the same season as it is now? Was it basically September to June or something like that?
Yeah, it was. School was out in the summer.
Okay.
And I remember one time we were walking. I think we were coming home, and it was coming up a storm. It was lightning and all that. And we got under a tree, which was the worst thing in the world to do, but the Lord protected us.
It seemed like a good thing, a good idea at the time, right?
Oh, I know. And we didn't have a shoe for every occasion. We had to save our better clothes for school. We changed clothes when we got home. And we mostly went barefoot in the summer.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the school, did it how many grades were in the school? Do you remember?
I think there was eight. It was New Hope Elementary School in Jackson County. When my mom died, I was in the seventh grade, and I didn't lose much. I caught up pretty well when I got. It went to Gainesboro City. It was a big change. I wasn't used to.
Oh, so when you went to the foster home, you went to a different school.
Oh, yes. Didn't know anybody.
Oh, no.
Did not know anybody.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. But,
when did you get so... you're very, very, very involved in the church. When did you... Did that start when you were very, very young or during the foster years or later on?
Foster years. I didn't... The only time I remember going to church was with... some of my girlfriends, and you know, we just all wanted to be together, really. I mean, we liked going to church, but I was reared in a very strong Christian family. It was Sally Reed and her family are my anchors.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
So what did they do?
And I give them credit for who I am today.
Well, that's saying a lot because you're a very special lady.
Well, thank you.
What did they do for a living?
My foster mom owned a grocery store.
Oh.
Reed's Grocery. Her daughter, they owned a whole line of buildings in Gainesboro. Her daughter and her husband had a furniture store. And at one time, the other daughter had a department store, but then James Paul and Tootie went into the funeral home business because he worked, going to college, he worked for funeral homes. And
did you work in any of those businesses growing up?
I grew up in a grocery store.
You did. Well, you ended up, did you not, you and your husband owned a grocery store at one point
at
in time,
one point,
didn't you?
But that was after we got married.
Yes,
here.
Ma'am. We'll get to that. Okay, mm-hmm. I thought so. That started really young.
But it was a good life. And it was hard, though.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, you know, I think Tootie, the youngest one, I love her dearly. She's like my sister. She was away in college, and she didn't even know I was coming.
Really?
So when she came home one weekend, there was another person in her house.
There.
Yeah.
Did you know that family before that?
No.
How did it become that they were your foster?
I don't know. Apparently, we are distantly related, like I stated before. I don't know who chose. I don't know who made that decision. But apparently, my mom and I'm sure my dad, because they're related. We're related on my dad's side.
I see.
And so that's how it happened. But we have a lot in common.
When did the did you have get-togethers with your siblings through those years, or did you
very
kind of,
seldom?
Really, they just was it because of distance? Or?
Right. Well, only one was legally adopted, and his parents didn't really want him to know who we were. I think she thought it would cause him to, you know, worry or be unhappy.
I see.
So, but we did get to see him.
So you did, eventually you did reestablish a relationship with the siblings.
And as we got older, yes.
That's good. Mm-hmm. So you went high school through?
Through high school.
And then talk to me about, you graduate and what?
Well, and then I was still at the grocery store. And this particular summer, I was helping in Vacation Bible School. Well, Mr. Jimmy Cobb.
What church was this?
Church of Christ.
Okay, but what was the name of it?
Gainsborough.
Gainsborough Church of Christ, okay.
Mm-hmm. And so I was helping with Vacation Bible School. Then it lasted from Monday through Friday. Now they just have it a couple of days, maybe one. But anyway, Tootie was in the department store, and she told me, she said he was working with Kearns that summer.
This is Mr. Cobb.
Yes. Okay. And so Tootie told me, if I were you, I'd miss Bible school one day. So there's a good looking man on that bread truck. And I said, I don't care. I don't want to. I'm not interested. So then on Saturday, I'll never forget it. I was in the store helping. And here comes this man. And he winked at me.
First
day. And he wrote his name and phone number and address. I still have it.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
That's
remarkable. So the rest is history. This was in July. We dated from July to...
What years would this be?
1958.
Wow.
So we dated from July till November of that same year.
And then?
We got married.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So where did you live? Once married, where did you live? Did you stay in Gainesville?
Got married, my foster mom, I called her Miss Sally. For some reason, I couldn't call her mom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so she needed help the rest of the year. So I rode with a Mr. Massa. He worked at... he worked there in Gainsborough at some office. So I rode with him, and I remember the first day I told Jimmy, I said, I'll just spend the night, and that way I won't have to, you know, ride with him and leave so early. And he said, okay. But then as it got closer, I called Mr. Massa, and I said, I'm going back home. But anyway, that was a lot of fun. And then Lewis Coomer, who lived across the street from me in Gainesboro.
I remember that name for some reason.
Lewis Coomer, he was circuit court clerk.
Ah, okay. Yes, ma'am.
So he had told Jimmy or some of Jimmy's family that Todd's Market was looking for a cashier. So I thought, well, I know all about grocery store. But so I went and applied.
Now, where was Todd's Market?
It's on Ninth Street.
In Cookville or in Gainesville?
Cookville, over by Tech.
Did Mr. Cobb live in Cookville then?
Yeah, Jimmy was from here.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Mr. Todd hired me. I worked there 7 years. And then I decided I think I'd like to work in the bank. So Miss Jane Ramsey, Glenn's wife, she traded there all the time. She would come in and I said, Jane, I think I'd like to work at the bank where your husband is president. She said, well, I'll tell him, and you just call and make an appointment. So I did, and he hired me.
And that was Bank of?
Citizens Bank.
At
the time, then it changed to Union Planners.
Okay.
And now it's Regions.
Yes, ma'am.
And I worked there 34 years.
34 years. Which different branches did you work
at? I worked at almost all of them except Baxter. I don't remember working at Baxter. I may have relieved some. I don't think I did, but I worked at the main office for, I don't know, 8 or 10 years. Then I was manager at the 10th Street branch. Then I went to the Town Plaza branch on Jefferson in Cookville. Then one of the ladies was retiring in Allgood, and I thought it was time for a change, so I applied, and Mr. Miller said, well, I tell you, you were one of the ones we had in mind to send to Allgood.
Really?
So I got that, and that was really the best years was at Allgood. The last 15 years.
You enjoyed the
I enjoyed
mission.
The people.
Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, the atmosphere, and it was just wonderful.
Now, Mr. Cobb was with Kearns.
Yes.
For how long?
Probably 20, 22 years.
Oh, really? And
mm-hmm.
Then
he got sick, and he thought maybe if he got off the road, you know, from selling, that maybe it would cause it. He had really, really bad headaches, and I couldn't find out. I first thought it was a tumor on the brain, but it wasn't. So then he bought the store, and I helped when I could after.
Now what was the name of that store?
In that Tech Market.
So where was it?
Okay, you know, at Willow and 7th, that lot there?
Yes, ma'am.
And they built, I guess it's dorms there. They tore all that down at that corner now.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
There was a single-story building there at one point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Was that it?
It was it. And the back, there was a barber shop in the back. Somebody else had that. I think a beauty shop, too.
And what year would that have been?
That was probably in 1978 to about 82, I guess.
And then sold it?
Well, there was a fire.
Oh,
electrical
no.
fire, and we lost it.
Oh, no.
But he wasn't able to do it anyway, so everything worked out.
Yes, ma'am. So let's go back again. When you were younger, did your family have a car or a truck?
A truck.
Okay, and then the foster folks?
No, yeah. They
one car per family,
mm-hmm.
basically?
Yes.
When did you learn to drive?
Well, I learned to drive when I married Mr. Cobb.
Really?
Because he said, listen, if you're going to work, now I can't have my friends or I can't stop and come and get you and take you. So he said, we're going to learn how to drive. I said, okay. So we went over, and then it was the high school football field at the back of Levitt Street.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
So that's where I learned how to drive.
Really? That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That is really neat.
So, after I got my license, the first trip I took by myself was on a Sunday afternoon. I thought, I believe I can do this. So here I go down the Gainesboro Mountain, and my heart was in my throat.
Oh,
I'll never get to the bottom. But anyway, after that, I was fine.
You okay after that?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
So.
So when did the kids come along?
The kids, Jimbo was born, we got married in November 58. Jimbo was born on January 1, 1962. And then Shane was born in March of 68.
Both great, great men. I know them
yes,
both.
Yes, they are. We're proud of our children.
They come from good stock,
though. Well, thank you.
They certainly do. Now, when did Mr. Cobb pass?
He passed 9 years ago.
Yes, ma'am.
2012.
Like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful man. Of course, I, you know, in full disclosure, Mrs. Cobb is, the Jimbo she spoke about is my brother-in-law, Jim
right.
Cobb. And I've known both Mr. and Mrs. Cobb for the 32 years I've been married into mm-hmm. this family. Mm-hmm. I remember him mostly from ball games.
Oh, yes. Jimbo was all into ball playing.
Yes, ma'am. Great, great athlete. Yeah.
Yeah.
So where did he go to school?
Jimbo went to school at, he started at Capshaw, then junior high, where, is that Prescott?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And then he went to high school high here, school. And it broke my heart that he didn't go to college. He said, Mom, I'm not college material. So Uncle Sam got him. He joined the Air Force.
Air Force, yep.
And they trained him real well.
And he always stayed in this area, didn't he?
Oh, yes. They
Guam.
Did. Yeah, they went to Guam.
Guam, yes, ma'am.
And that's where our first grandchild, Jason, was born.
Yes, ma'am.
So
Now, Mr. Cobb, Jim Sr., Mr. Cobb, where did he go to school? He go to school here in town?
He sure did. He went to Capshaw.
Capshaw.
And then the high school.
Wow. That is really neat.
Mm-hmm.
That's a neat story how you folks met each other. That really
is cool. Well, I mean, that one wink and it did it.
Oh, that's funny.
It is. I thought he was the best looking man I had ever seen.
And
he
your
was
eyes
good looking.
Still light up when you say it.
Well, he was. He was a good man.
Tell me a bit about, certainly the way you were raised. Much different than the way things are now.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the things you think are maybe better, and maybe even some of the things you think are not quite as good nowadays.
I think the modern technology is wonderful, but it has its problems, I think. I think the people as a whole, we as the community, we're the older folks especially are used to customer service and a smile and a hello, and now you go through a line anywhere, you're lucky if the merchant or cashier even looks at you.
That's true.
And if they didn't have machines to tell them how to give change, they wouldn't know how to give change.
That is true.
They do not know how to count back, you know, from...
Yes, ma'am.
Your change. And I think that's one thing that the nation is missing, treating people like you'd want to be treated.
That's been the golden rule.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And that's what I try to do.
Yes, ma'am. If you could go back and give your 15-year-old self any advice, would there be any? Anything you'd do a little differently or...
I probably would have gone to my grandparents sooner, because we suffered.
Yes, ma'am.
I remember picking cornfield peas, and I don't know how we cooked.
Yes, ma'am.
But I don't know why they didn't come to us either.
That's a great point.
One aunt, I asked her one time, and she said, well, we couldn't take one without taking all, and we couldn't afford to take all. I would have stepped up to the plate, and we would have been taken care of much differently.
Found a way.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
What's amazing, though, is you have so many things, so many people today want to, they kind of embrace this victimhood, and you have so many things that happened to you when you were younger that was completely out of your control. that you could have just basically given up, and you're still, and but you didn't, and you kept on, and there seems to be no animosity in your heart at all. Mm-mm. I mean, it's just, it's a wonderful, what caused that? It's a wonderful thing.
Well, at a very young age, as I said, even at 10, I thought, this is awful to live like this. I saw my mother abused, and I think it just put the fight in me to, I'm not going to live like this when I get older.
Right.
And I would tell myself, where there's a will, there's a way. And I stuck to it.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you started working when you were how old?
Well, I was working in the grocery store at 12 years old.
That's what I thought from hearing the story.
And I would go early of a morning and help Miss Sally open up and, you know, get the set up the cash register, put the money in, and do whatever. Maybe carry a bucket of coal in for the stove. It was in the back.
That's how you heated the, that's how the place was
heated?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it was a big potbelly stove, and you had to keep coal in it. She also had a table, like a butcher block, and she served sandwiches to workers and pork and beans and crackers, whatever, at lunch. Some of them would come there, and we'd cut meat. Slice meat and serve them sandwiches.
Did you have a butcher in the store?
No.
But you did have meat.
Yes.
So it was already outstanding.
Bologna and cheese.
Bologna and cheese, of course. How about the fruits and vegetables?
You know, I don't remember the fruits. I do remember the dried foods, like dried beans. They were in a bin, like pinto beans, white beans. I don't remember the sugar and the flour.
So they weren't individually wrapped?
No, they were in bins, and you sold them by the pound, and you'd dip them up and put them in the bag and weigh them.
Did the customer do that for themselves?
No, we did it.
You did it. So they would come over and say, I need X number of pounds or whatever ounces of these beans?
Right.
And you would weigh them and do that? That's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. And at the counter, as you come in, there was candy, and it was in jars, those that you see, like Lance jars.
Oh, yes.
And we weighed it by the pound, and I vaguely remember the chocolate drops.
Really?
And also the orange slices. That's the two that stand out in my mind. She also sold pottery. One corner of the building was pottery. In fact, that little yellow pot right there came from that store.
It did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where did she buy that pot? Was it made in that area, or did she buy it?
No, she bought it from Southern Woodenware in Nashville. They delivered it.
Delivered it.
I guess she probably, I don't know if she, I guess she just chose from the truck. Because I don't remember her calling it in or anything.
Yes, ma'am.
I think it was like a peddler that came by. But I remember the name, Southern Woodenware.
That's neat that you remember it. Now, is that the way you got all the food, like the beans and whatever? Did it come from peddlers? Or?
I'm sure.
Okay.
I'm sure it was. And the floor was wood, you know, greased looking.
Yeah.
Wood.
Yes, ma'am.
It's still there. The building's still there.
Is it still there?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And it was the only grocery store in that area?
No. There was Half Acres is the only one I remember. Of course, there was Wooten Drug Store, Anderson Hale Drug Store, and then there was a dime store. I don't remember the name.
So was this on, like, near the square? Was it?
Yeah, it's just in the town there.
So tell me what exactly is a dime store. I know, but I bet folks listening, some of them
know. It's kind of like Kmart now, but of course prices were a lot cheaper, and you could get things for a dime.
That is so neat.
Yeah.
And now the pharmacies you were talking about, did they have a fountain in them?
They had a fountain. You could go walk in and sit at the counter and order your ice cream or Coke or whatever. I did not get to do that much. When I got out of school, I had to come straight to the store.
I see.
So a lot of the kids would go and read comic books and.
Right.
And now.
That's at the age of 12 and 13, you had to come directly to the store.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still working today, aren't you?
I am.
I was one of your two sons told me to bring that up as well.
Oh, yeah. And they keep asking me, Mom, how much longer do you think you're going to work here at the Upper Cumberland Christian Homes? I said, well, probably till I'm 95, something like that. I think I was just trying to check to see if I really, how I was feeling or something.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
without
ma'am.
Coming out and asking me.
Yes, ma'am. So tell me, what would courting or a date be like when you and Mr. Cobb first started dating? What were some of the things you did?
Oh, you will love this one. The first time that my Aunt Sally was very strict. First time that we were going to have a date, she checked out his family, and it upset him. I said, Jimmy, you ought to be proud. That way you'll know.
How did she check it out, though?
She knew the
she
bread
knew people?
Man.
Oh, no.
Yes. So
wow.
She checked him out good before I could even go out. Anyway, we had gone to a movie, I believe the drive-in theater on Nashville Highway.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
And then we were coming through town, and there was this terrible noise. And I just said, what was that? It was the train. I had never seen a real train.
You had never? Oh, no.
I had seen pictures, but I'd never heard them.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm telling you, I never outlived that one. Because Jimmy was raised right by the railroad track on 9th Street.
Yes, ma'am.
But
what did he drive back then? What did you go to the movie in? Do you remember?
It was a little blue, and I want to say Chevrolet. I remember the license plate.
You remember the light? Well, you're good with numbers, but you remember the license plate,
I
honestly?
Do. It was CO22.
That is so funny.
Mm-hmm. It was a little blue car. His mom said he kept it, and it was sparkling, clean. And he always, you know, kept it clean and
what about
took
his
care.
Parents? Can you tell us anything about his parents?
Jimmy's mom and dad. Jimmy's from a family of 10.
I didn't know that.
Jimmy's dad worked for the Putnam County Highway Department. He was in the oiling part.
Where, yes, ma'am.
And where they have, I think he called it Crusher Run.
Yes, ma'am. To the paving. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. And Jimmy's mom, she, of course, had a large family, and so she was at home. They were very good parents, good family.
So did they live?
They lived on 9th Street.
Oh, they were right here in
520.
There you go with numbers again.
No, 11th Street. 520 East 11th Street. I'll never forget that. That's on that piece of paper that I told you where he wrote his address now. Oh, me. But
do you remember your first meeting with them?
Yes. I think we went to church. At Jimmy came and got me. We went to church at Collinside.
Church of Christ. Was it on Willow? Oh, excuse me, on
over
Jefferson?
By the college there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I know where it is. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
And then after that, we went to meet his parents, and we had watermelon. They had it all set up in the yard, and that's how I met him.
Now, what about the first time Jimmy met Miss Sally?
Oh, she loved him.
Did she?
Oh, yeah, but now he wasn't sure about her. She was older, too.
I see.
She was too old to have a teenager. But
oh, really?
Well, she was in her 60s, I think.
Oh,
close
I didn't
to
that.
It.
When
I came along.
Oh, so I noticed you don't mention her husband.
Her first husband, his name was Tom Reed. And I never got to meet him. He was already deceased. However, she did marry a Mr. A.T. Davis from Salina. He was a great guy.
Now, was he in the home when you were in the home, or would that after you left? Or?
He was, but not very long. And
yes,
then
ma'am.
He passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
So this was a single, a widow.
Mm-hmm.
Running a grocery store.
Oh, listen, she was a strong woman. And I said I had to have a lot of her blood.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
And my mom was a strong woman, too.
Yes, ma'am.
So, I guess I got it honest.
When's the last time you've been by that store?
Oh, it hadn't been long. My friend and I, Francis Walker, we a lot of times will go to Gainesboro and eat on Fridays, and we'll drive through, because she's from Gainesboro, too.
Okay.
Although she was raised from age 12 on by her sister in Michigan after her father died. But then we go up to Anderson and Hale drugstore and get us some ice cream.
Oh, that's great.
That and we great. Reminisce.
Have you ever taken either Jimmy or Shane by where you used to live? And
yeah.
That type of thing?
Now it's a bank.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. The name of the street now is, when I lived there, it didn't even have a name. I don't recall. But now it's Montpelier.
Okay.
Avenue.
Yes, ma'am.
And Tootie, Miss Sally's daughter, lives across the street in the old home place where Miss Sally raised her family. Then she built a newer home across the street, and that's where the bank is.
I see. So, what? Where were you? What age would you have been during the early 50s, the Korean War?
Mm-hmm.
So, how old were you during that period of time? Well, do you remember the Korean War?
No.
Okay, I was going to say.
Well, the only thing I remember, I was born in 40.
Okay.
I remember.
So you'd be 12 years old, or
yeah.
10 or 12, 13.
Uh-huh. I remember of course, being a child, you don't really know what about the world situation.
Right.
And I remember my parents and some of the aunts and uncles, they would exchange stamps. It was like rationed. Certain foods were rationed.
Yes, ma'am.
Like coffee and sugar and I don't know what the others, but I remember that. I hope that's cool. They can, if you don't use all of yours, then you could swap and get.
Right. Well, the reason I was asking is just for that very reason. I wondered, you know, in Gainesboro, in that time period, how did you hear about world events? Or did you? You think about it, you didn't have a TV.
No, I didn't. We did. All we had was a radio. I don't remember much communication other than, you know, the radio, what was it operated on? There was no electricity.
Batteries, probably.
Batteries.
Like a dry cell battery.
I think mainly they just listened to the news, and kids didn't. We didn't have anything to look at. And
so that's a big change.
Oh, you know, yes.
There's no way. In starting to do these, I've sat and talked with my kids, 26 and 30, and they just can't even fathom
Mm-mm.
not having a phone with them all the time or not being mm-hmm. not having the internet.
We didn't have a phone.
Didn't have a phone in the house at all.
No.
So if you were going to, how did you?
You just had to go to their house or
wow.
or go to the nearest grocery store was in Barrystown. And we would, I guess, drive there, my dad, but it's D.R. Smith Grocery, General Merchandise.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what kind of farming? We have a fairly large farm? Or?
Yeah, they was about 100 acres.
Oh, wow, a good-sized farm.
Mm-hmm. It was, my father inherited it from his family.
I see. And it would seem that a lot of what it took to live in terms of food might have been grown right there
mm-hmm.
on the farm.
Oh, yeah, it was. I also remember, and this always stuck out in my young mind, and I still think about it, like in the fall or in the summer, toward the end of the summer, they called it hoeing up. I don't know. But anyway, what they would do was dig this big hole at the end of the garden and line it with straw and put fresh vegetables in there, and I guess I covered it with straw, and I don't know if they maybe put a tarp over it or something, and then you knew where everything was, so if you needed potatoes, you'd go raise that up. And
oh, so not for compost. You're talking about
to eat. Yes.
I've never heard of that.
Uh-huh. It was neat. I mean, there would be cabbage, potatoes, I remember very well, and I don't just all the vegetables that we grew.
Did you have a root cellar as well?
Yeah.
In the house?
Uh-huh.
What was there? What?
In there, I remember we killed hogs. They killed hogs in the fall. And they had a salt box where they salted the meat, and it stayed in there, you know, like hams and
yes, ma'am.
All that stuff. And I remember my mother suffering apples.
Suffering.
They put them in a bag, sort of like a pillowcase, and somehow had a flame with sulfur and I don't know what else.
Uh-huh.
And it went up, you know, it seasoned it.
Sulfuring apples. That
yes,
what?
They were good.
Did it cook the apples?
Uh-huh.
It
really didn't cook them. It sort of like dehydrated them.
Oh,
but
see.
Then when you cooked them, they were so good.
I've never heard of that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Never heard of that.
I don't know how I remember that.
That is really neat. That's a neat memory.
But I do.
How about fruit? How often did you eat fruit?
Well, we had apple trees and pear trees, but we didn't...
How about bananas and oranges?
We didn't eat very much fruit. Okay. When I was probably 8 years old in school, her name was Wanda Smith, and she and her mom, she was in a single family, and I remember at lunch, we packed our lunch, but what we had for lunch was whatever was left over from breakfast or supper, maybe a biscuit and a piece of ham or something, which was good, but we thought what others had was better,
sure.
Looked better.
Yes, ma'am.
So I remember this girl, she opened up her lunch box, and she had a banana. And I said to myself, being a child, I said, oh, she must be rich. Because the only time we got fruit was at the end of the year. My dad bought a stalk of bananas. We had oranges, apples. I remember pecans, a long peppermint candy stick.
Wow.
You know, the big ones.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's when we got our fruit.
That was
our Christmas.
Again, another, as we look at our lives today, mm-hmm. we have blessing on top of blessing.
We do.
Yes, ma'am.
We do. We're just so blessed.
Yes, ma'am.
We are.
And I, you know, heard you saying walking to get the water on Thursdays.
Oh, yeah.
Spring.
We had to carry our water. And the drinking water was in a hanging bucket with an aluminum dipper.
Okay.
And everybody drank out of the same dipper.
So you just drank it from the dipper itself when you were thirsty.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't have indoor plumbing.
No.
Early on. So tell me, when a child needs to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, I've always wondered about that.
I don't remember. I don't know, but the only thing we did was go outside the edge of the yard. And we raised chickens, and we had a hen house. I think we went behind the hen house.
Really? And that's just so amazing.
I don't know how
the things we take for granted today.
And I've always said, you know, if times got that bad again, if, you know, we don't know how the world situation is now, I could make it.
Yes, ma'am.
I think Jimbo could. I don't know about Shane.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. I know what you're saying.
Yes.
I worry about it. I believe I could as well.
Uh-huh.
But I worry about it with all three of my
yes.
children. I don't know.
Because Jimbo, he's older and he...
Well, Jimmy's got a... Jimmy is an old soul, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm probably 5 years older than Jimmy, and he is almost like he's 5 years older than me in terms of the way he thinks about things.
I know, he does.
And I have to tell you, Ms. Cobb, I have never in my life seen two brothers raised in the same home by the same parent be so different.
I know.
It's remarkable to me.
It is.
It's absolutely remarkable. I love them both.
I know.
But they're different people.
They're so different.
Yes,
and,
ma'am.
Shane will say sometimes, I think Jimbo thinks he's my daddy.
Well, he may sometimes. That is funny.
But they're great kids, and I don't have any regrets with how we raised them. We did. I'm sure we could have. There was things we could have done different, but we did the best that we knew how.
There's no doubt. And mm-hmm. like I say, they come from great stock.
Well,
I know that,
you.
But I also love them both. They're
yeah,
both great.
Well, thank
they're
you.
Wonderful men. Honestly,
they are. They're good kids.
So tell me. So in the early years when you were early married, have a TV when you first got married?
That was the first thing we bought. Jimmy was used to TV, and of course I was the latter
yes,
years,
yes,
you know, before we got married. But that was the first thing we did.
But that's something kind of funny too. Did it have 150 stations like
no,
it does today?
No, it may have had six, maybe.
And had to hold the rabbit ear.
Yes,
ma'am. I remember that.
And we bought a radio, and where we bought it was from Freeman Tire. Mr. Wheeler, Jimmy's family went to church with him at College Side.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think it was still called Freeman's Tire. They sold everything. They sold refrigerators and...
I didn't know that.
And it was where where the city across from where Maddox Hardware, not the municipal building, but the...
Like the courthouse?
Yeah, not the courthouse, but you know the corner where Maddox...
Yes, ma'am.
Hardware, that building there, the...
Oh, okay.
Lawyers.
Yes, ma'am, I can't think of the name. It's, I don't think, is it Hargrove or
no.
Lefkowitz? Or?
It's like the jail where you go.
Oh, you're talking about the Justice Center.
Yes.
Oh, I see, on that side.
That on the Justice Center, that was at one time Freeman Tire, and they moved on down.
Yes, ma'am. I didn't know that.
And we charged it, and we paid maybe $10 a month, but we got it paid.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That is so neat.
When we first got married, we rented an apartment upstairs, and it was from Mr. and Mrs. Oscar Gall Sr. is across from Whitson Funeral Home. It's not there now. We paid $40 for a furnished apartment, $40 a month.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And how long did you live there?
We probably lived there 4 or 5 years, and then there was a relative of the family that needed someone to sort of live in her house. And so we did that probably 4 or 5 years, and then we didn't like that. It you know, two families can't live in one house.
It's hard.
And then we bought a mobile home, and we put it on Jimmy's family's lot beside their house. And then we lived there probably... I guess, Jimbo, we probably lived there about 8 years. And we bought a house on Jerry Whitson, 715 East Jerry Whitson. And when we first bought the house, Jimbo was like maybe 3 or 4. And one day he said, "Mom, I can't find you." And I said, "Well, I'm right here." He was just going straight in the mobile home. He was in another room. So we just had all kinds of fun out of him. But we lived there a long time, and then we bought the house in DeBerry Heights. We lived there 17 years, and then we sold it after the boys were gone, and Jimmy wanted to try living in the country.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
We lived up on Buck Mountain, 6320 Willett Road.
Wow. So, still know the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Well, I like numbers. I like to memorize stuff, too. So,
do you remember the first Christmas with a child, with Jimmy?
Yes, I do. I remember that. I don't remember much about the Christmas, Jimbo's birthday being January 1st,
that's right.
We was having him a little party. And I don't remember, I guess just some of the friends, I was inviting their children.
Yes,
well, it came the awfulest snow that ever was. So we celebrated, just he and Jimbo, Jimmy
yes.
and me.
Yes, ma'am.
had our little party together. But It's been an experience. I really don't think of anything I would have done different. Maybe Jimmy wanted me to go on to college, but I didn't think we could afford it. Of course, we didn't know about all the monies that you could probably get being married.
Yes,
to go to school.
Yes, ma'am.
That people just didn't tell you.
Right.
Even in high school, they didn't tell you that. Then
you're so accomplished, though. Honestly, I don't know that it would have changed your trajectory.
It wouldn't. It wouldn't have. Because I feel like I'm the same person today as I was when I was growing up.
I think you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, your work ethic is honestly second
to
none.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I just love it, and I love helping people. I've always loved older people and children. I just could never stand to see them mistreated.
Yes, ma'am.
And probably part of that is how I was brought up. And I would always say, when I get married, and that was when I was a teenager, when I get married, I'm going to help people. That was in the back of my mind.
And you always have.
Yeah, I love it.
At least
it.
The 32 years I've known you, always have.
Mm-hmm. And I love it. I just think, you know, we should be community-oriented, help one another.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, that's how it operates, is with people, you know?
That's what we're here to do.
It is.
We should be here to do. Yes, ma'am.
It is. So I've had a good life.
Yes, ma'am. And you've blessed a lot of folks.
Well,
I will tell you, I'm honored that you did this with me. I have two questions before we end. Question number one is, I'm sure when I play this back and listen to it, I'm going to have 20 other questions.
Okay.
Might we be able to do this again?
Sure.
Okay. And the second question that I try to ask everybody, is there anything that I did not ask you that you wish I had? Anything you want to say before we close?
Well, one thing, when I retired from the bank, Jimbo called me when I told him I turned in my notice that I was going to retire. I had, you know, enough years. I wasn't old enough. I was 60. And he said, Mom, are you sure this will be okay? Y'all will be okay? And I said, yes, I'm sure. And I said, your daddy needs me. And he was sick. And I said, I'm burnt out. I was burnt out. But I knew I would have to compensate some money somehow, you know, because Jimmy was just on disability. And I thought,
ma'am.
I can do that. I can work in a grocery store. I can do whatever. So, of course, I've been on the board of directors here at the Upper Cumberland Christian Home since 1989. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that was in 2000. And I retired in July of 2000. Then that same year, at our board meeting in October, our board president said, I want y'all to be thinking of someone we can hire to live on the premises. Well, that clicked.
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
Exactly what I want to do. And to me, that was the providence of God.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, that had just been a few months. From July to October. So in April of the following year, they said, well, first of all, I thought, Jimmy, I don't know if Jimmy's going to like this or not. So all the way home up Buck Mountain, I thought, oh, Lord, help me with him. So I told him, and he said, you mean sell our house? And I said, Jimmy, it's just a building. We can make a home anywhere. So he said, I'll have to think on it. So he thought on it, and about a week, he said, I think what we discussed about moving is the right thing to do, and I'll know when I'm gone that you'll be in a safe place. So we moved into the first apartment available they said we could have, and it was this one.
And the one we're sitting in right now?
Yes.
That's amazing. I'll tell you, it's so funny, all the trials and tribulations you've had, one of the things I've noticed in the hour and 10 or 15 minutes we've been sitting here is that you almost count all of those as gain.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
I do.
You know, God, you know, Mm-hmm. The way you smile and walk right through it. You're an inspiration. You truly are an inspiration.
Well, thank you, John.
There's not a whole lot of Mrs. Cobb type folks around anymore, and I'm so blessed to have
known
you.
Well, you're sweet to say that. I had good spiritual background from the time I was 12, and James Paul and Tootie Anderson are my inspiration.
And you're the inspiration to many.
Well, thank you.
You have a wonderful day.
And well, you
we will,
too.
We'll get together again.
Okay, right. We will.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye, folks.